Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
No longer wondering when or wondering how, but now declaring gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Yes, you. Yes, you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, you, God. Yes, you. Awesome, great, good. No one like you, the Lord. No one like you, oh Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Yeshua. We thank you, Jehoshua. We thank you, mighty Lord. We thank you, mighty, mighty God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your mercy that endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I hope people can hear us. Amen tonight. Amen. I hope everything, hallelujah, is coming in clear. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. I hope our microphones are clear tonight. Thank you, Lord. We like to make sure before we go ahead and we begin the program, we know that, thank you, Jesus. Amen. We like to, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Make sure people are hearing the word of God, the word of the Almighty God. Amen. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your old brother in Christ, Brother L.B. Safara here with my brother Tony Serrano. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Brother Tony, say hello to everyone.
Hello. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you. Dear sister, dear brother, thank you very much. Hallelujah. Thank you. God is so awesome. We are excited to come in here tonight because the Lord has been good to us. The Lord has been grateful. His mercy has been with us. Hallelujah. He is a faithful God. And just when you think he has given you enough or it's going to take longer for him to show us more, his mercy is there. His open arms are there. Shalom, Brother Miguel. Amen. Shalom to each of our brothers and sisters. Amen. He is so merciful. He is so good. And in the middle of the trial and the testing, my brother, my sister, hallelujah. Thank you, sister. He is with us, and he is for us. My brother, my sister, yet again, I was allowed to ask God, what's next in prayer. And you know, I had a little concern, which we should not concern ourselves with anything. But I say concern because I can't think of another word at this moment. And it's that we're going to have to be here any longer. Is God going to grant more time? God had told me a few days before the beginning of 23 that no more time will be granted. And the Lord was standing there, was Father was speaking to me in the Spirit. So based on that, I always want to know, amen, if more time will be granted. God has said no. But I'm going to tell you what he said to me this last time. My brother and sister, in heaven again, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Let me tell you, I saw a glory of power that I love very much in heaven, in which we're going to be moving soon once the church is up there. Once the church is changing, transformed, the church is going to experience God's army, God's people, okay, are going to experience the power of God like they never heard of it until before. You've never seen so much power of God like you're going to experience. I've seen it, and I tell you, I rejoice. It gives me such a joy and such a peace to see what God has in store for them that love him. He has a lot more than what we think. And very, 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 very soon, we're going to be in his presence forever. Okay, finally forever, I say, where you don't need to come out if you don't have to. You can just ask him, Lord, hallelujah, do I have to do this? Do I have to go there? Do you, you know, it's that, if I have, Lord, do I have to go back to the earth? The Lord says, no, you don't have to. So that's, you know, it's going to be tremendously. Okay, but I got to give you this word because God gave me this word in heaven. And it's in Daniel 11. I'm going to be getting there. Okay, and then, you know, we're going to share a few other verses. Then later on, I go into the revelation of what I saw, of what I experienced. I was visiting someone's mansion. Okay, I don't like to say things of people unless the person gives me permission. And say, all right, you can talk, go ahead, talk about it. Because it's, you know, we got to respect privacy. He's going to be my neighbor in heaven. And when you're a neighbor in heaven, it's really a long time, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not something that, you know, I remember Brother Larry wanted me to see his mansion at one time. And he asked God. And God took me there. And I was inside his mansion. And I described here on the Lord Tower what I saw. He had curtain of diamonds, made of diamonds. Okay? Very, very expensive curtain. Okay? I haven't seen anything like this down here or anything. Okay, we had, I remember my mom one time had a curtain between the kitchen and the living room, and it was all these fake, looked like diamonds, but they were fake, you know, fake stone, they call them, I believe it is. You know, but in heaven, nothing is fake. It's all real. Stuff up there, things up there are pure. Nothing fake, you know, and that's incredible to see that. I saw it. What was it, yesterday morning? It was incredible, I tell you. Let me tell you, thank you, Lord. I had a wonderful time. I'm going to talk about it tonight. But before that, this information of Daniel 11:36 is important because God told me this in heaven because he knew my heart. He knew what I wanted to know, and he wanted to answer me this, and I thank God for this. He is so good. I'm always going to be grateful because, hallelujah, with so little, he is so great. With nothing, he's all. And he's had mercy on us, my brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But we're not nothing. We're his sons and daughters. And we thank him for our doctor, sons and daughters. So Daniel 11:36. The king should do according to his will. And this king here is the Antichrist, in case you're wondering. Okay? The Antichrist will do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself, which is salt. It's talking about pride. So he will be prideful and magnify himself, which is another sign of pride.
Yeah.
Hey, he's just full of pride, let me tell you. He is full of pride. He exalted himself. No one exalted him. No, he does that on his own. Isn't that incredible? He does this on his own. I mean, it is just so incredible. But then when you read about him this way, who he appoints to, right away, Brother Tony. To whom does he relate to? He saw himself and magnify himself. Who is that prideful in the Bible?
It sounds the same as Satan, right?
There you go. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. There it is. That's what I wanted to get to. He is a direct seed of Satan. Okay? He exalt himself, okay? Because is it that no one is exalting him? No one is magnifying him?
It says he shall exalt himself, so he's the one that...
I believe also here that in this exalting himself, AI could be used for that. You know, all these supercomputers, this AI can be used to exalt the Antichrist. To magnify the Antichrist. And The word magnify, what does that word mean, Brother Tony?
Exalt and magnify.
What did magnify mean?
Like making himself look great, trying to make himself, is that what it is?
Well, if you take a magnet to something that is very little,
yeah,
very tiny, you can kind of make it big.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's making himself big, okay? And God is telling us, look, he's not as big as you think.
Mm.
He is just making himself big.
Yeah.
You know? And then he uses the word above every God, well, fallen angels of God. So he magnifies above every fallen angel, no?
Yeah, yeah.
That's incredible, the things you find in the Bible. Angels speak marvelous things, okay? What is that marvelous things now?
Oh, yeah, speak marvelous things. Again, the God of God. That would be marvelous things. So, like, blasphemy, right? Is that?
I also see marvelous things. Things that sound incredible to people. Things that since the foundation of earth, men have not come out with these ideas, with these plans.
Yes.
Because this one that said that he will make, shall, and shall prosper to the indignation.
Mm.
So he's coming up with a plan of prosperity that no one, no Bill Gates, no Elon Musk, no one has come out with this yet but himself, okay? And this is why this Antichrist is something different than what the earth have experienced before.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be better than Bill Gates and Elon Musk. Remember that Elon Musk and Bill Gates are about themselves, you know? They're not about helping anybody else but himself, their own billions. But this Antichrist now, it's bringing this prosperity, okay, making prosperity available.
Yeah.
And this is exalting and doing marvelous things, or speaking marvelous things. It's going to make so many people fall.
Yeah.
And we have to be extremely careful, my brothers and sisters. God gave us wisdom in this. Because beautiful words doesn't bring you closer to God from the evil ones. I mean, whatever the Antichrist does is not to bring you closer to God or to make you a better religious person. It is actually to make you think about someone else or praise someone else or seek someone else besides the Lord. And that alone is idolatry and an abomination.
Yeah, it is.
So we have to, my brother and sister, please focus only on Jesus. When the Bible says for us to put our eyes on Jesus, look up to Jesus, the Bible says. How do you look up to Jesus, who is the invisible God? The Word, the Bible. When you read the Word, Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Bible. When you read your Bible, when you look at the Word of God, you're looking at Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the Bible says. So please read your Bible as much as you can. Read the Word of God. Because it will give you knowledge and wisdom. So he just speak marvelous things. Marvelous to who? To the world, to the people. Because he's talking about God. Against the God of God. Against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The only God is God. The big G-O-D.
Yeah.
He's the only real God. Amen. And shall prosper. This is going to get people, my brother and sister. How do he make people prosper? How do he make things prosper? He's going to bring idea, AI. You notice that everything is our AI in the last days to make things produced. That's how China 30 years ago began to prosper, began to be a different nation because they began to make robots. AI and put it in the factory like one-hand robots who will work 24 hours and make the warehouses wealthy and make billions and trillions with them. And now that production is being planned to brought back to America and other nations to be as rich as China.
because they have noticed that AI technology that was introduced in China over 30 years ago have made China very wealthy. Okay, manufacturing in China is practically just being done by AI robots. You can go on Google. I like to see it on Google myself and see all these manufacturing companies using AI and robots to produce different stuff that are being sold to America and the world. It's bringing billions and hundreds of billions of dollars into China. And now the world is realizing we should have the same manufacturing process like China and use AI to do these things. My brother, sisters. So again, it should prosper till the indignation be accomplished. Okay? That indignation accomplishes in 7 years, according to Daniel 12, divided in 3.5 and 3.5, 7 year great tribulation. That indignation, my brothers and sisters, is what 7 years will be facing. A type of evil indignation like the world has not seen before. Which indignation, Jesus said, also desolation. Everything will be desolated, destroyed. Nothing will be standing at the end of the 7 years. Because the fire, the tsunami, the earthquakes, the stone falling out from the star, the meteor, will have destroyed everything. My brother and sister, God don't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want none of us to stay behind. My brother and sister, none of us to stay behind. God wants us to escape the judgment that is at hand. This judgment is not far off. This judgment is at hand. It's practically here. This is why the war in Israel has begun. An earthquake and tsunami about to hit this country. And it's already here in the earth. Like Chile got hit by 6.7 a few days ago. Destruction is coming on the earth like never before. My brother and sister. Amen. So here's the word. For that which is determined shall be done. That's the title of this message. That is determined shall be done. That's what God says to me. Okay? I wanted to know, is there more time that will be granted? And the word that God gave me is, for that is which determined shall be done. It already been determined by God that this is the end of all things. My brother and sister. And all we have to do now is continue to repent, continue to come under the blood of Jesus through repentance every day, as much as we can every day. Be ready because this shofar, this trumpet, will sound very soon. Whoever is ready, the Lord is coming. Whoever is ready or not will have to immediately realize if they're ready, they'll be changed. They'll be transformed. If they're not, they're staying behind. They'll be vomited if they've been a Christian. Staying behind, rejected by the body of Christ. That's what vomiting is. They will be left behind, my brothers and sisters. And that is very, very sad. Go ahead, brother, and read Revelation 13 about the beast and his exaltation to himself so we get an idea what the world is about to live and encounter for 7 years.
Yeah. The whole chapter, right?
Yes, go ahead.
And I saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns were 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet like a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, but his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered and followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth that spake great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to do 2 and 40 months. And he opened his mouth unto blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over every kindred and tongue and nation. And therefore, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, which was slain from the beginning of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. If any lead into captivity, he shall go into captivity. If any kill with a sword, he must be killed by a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, which had two horns like the lamb, but he spake like the dragon. And he did all that the first beast could do before him. And he caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he did great wonders, so that he made fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the signs which were permitted to him to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make the image of the beast which had the wound of a sword and did live. And it was permitted to him to give a spirit unto the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should speak and should cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he made all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath wit count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. There you go.
So you see how the beast system is what is going to be established on this earth within days. This Wednesday morning of this week, the Lord took me into the spirit, took me into the days after the rapture. I knew when the Lord brought me there that it was days after the rapture. When the Lord brought me there, people that stay behind, especially people that I knew, were complaining. Were saying to each other, I should have been gone. I should have been raptured. I heard people saying, because I did this, I did that. And they started justifying themselves. That why all these people got raptured and pastured, but they stayed behind, my brother and sister. And the Lord allowed me to hear their complaints of those who stay behind. But that was not the whole point why the Lord brought me there. But he wanted me to see life after the rapture, that people were immediately knew that the great tribulation has begun, that now life was going to be very difficult without a church. You don't understand how a blessing the church is to this world. People cannot realize that until the church is gone. And then they realize and said, oh, my God, now what? And they will know exactly what. As I was there, my brother and sisters, the earth began to move like a drunken. And I was expecting an earthquake, maybe a tsunami right away. But the earth started moving in such a, like the Lord said, things are going to change, my brother and sisters. Okay, and what I began to experience was, my brother and sister, the Titanic play is the only way I can explain this, began to shift, and the earth began to shift toward the north, completely going parallel. You know how we see that the earth is flat now, as we can see it, we know the earth is around. But the flatness began to go parallel to where you have to grab to a tree, to any light pole, to anything, because you're going to fall off, my brothers and sisters. And I was on top of my bed when this was happening. And I was trying. I knew that everything was going to start falling off, my brothers and sisters. And I began to grab myself for whatever I could. I began to kind of be so scared. Like the rest of the people I can see people grabbing themselves to anything they could. God had told us through his prophet that this was coming. Let me tell you what God said to the prophet Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains shall depart, okay, move, and the hills shall be moved, God said to the prophet Isaiah. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall be the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that have mercy on thee. But God says very clearly, okay, that the mountain will depart. This is what I was experiencing. The mountain now, where to the, instead of standing up as they are now, they began to go sideways. That means the stones are going to be start falling down. They're departing. They're leaving. They're going down. My brother and sister, like into the sea. Okay? I didn't remember this in the dream that Isaiah 54. I remember the Titanic plague. I remember that the Bible said that the earth was more like a drunken. But this depart that I read in Isaiah 54:10, that the mountain shall depart and the hill shall be removed, God said it would happen. This is nothing new. This word is about 3,000 years old. My brother, this is why we need to study God's word and read it. Okay? And people, you can hear people screaming. You can hear the panic. And when I wanted to panic, the God, as he said here, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. My kindness. The Lord was with me to comfort me. At that very moment, like my son, they are afraid. They can be screaming, but not you, because I am with you. The Lord was there with me through it. Thank you, Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. His comfort, his kindness, he said, will not depart from us. Neither shall the covenant of my peace. He wanted me to have peace in the middle of this mess. My brother, sister, in the middle of this partition to the earth, he wanted me to have peace. The earth, the mountain, were being departed. Were being depart, breaking off is another word. The mountain was breaking off. The hill was being moved. Who would have thought such a thing would be happening? My brothers and sisters. And it was happening. I was going through it with the rest of the people. And I can hear the screaming, the scare, and I can see people falling off. Hallelujah. People falling off and they're departing. As Paul said to the Thessalonians, they are departing. It's coming first to the Geneva Bible. Then the minister thing will be revealed. Everything is according to that which has been determined, by God said to me in heaven. It's been determined. When something is determined, it is already the plan of God. It's already in his word. He spoke it through his prophet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Job 14:5. Seeing that his day are determined and the number of his months are with thee, thou have appointed his bound that he cannot pass. It's been determined by God. My brother and sister. Isaiah 10:23. For the Lord God of hosts shall cause a consuming, even determined in the midst of all the land. How much land? Of all the land. It's been determined by God. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. He says in Joel 18:4, he tears himself in his anger. He shall the earth be forsaken for thee, and shall the rock be ruled out of its place. It's in his anger that God is doing this. It's in his anger that these things are going to come to pass. They're going to come to pass because he is angry. That's what Joel is trying to tell us. God is angry. And so these things are going to come to pass. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Lord. Psalm 46:2. Therefore, he will Not fear thou and the earth be if the earth that the earth be removed and thou mountain be carried into the midst of the sea. This is what I saw the mountain doing, falling into the midst of the sea. It's coming. It's close. I will say it's within days, maybe weeks. My brother insisted. So what are people doing with their lives? What are people doing? What is humanity doing today for their lives? Because I asked myself in prayer last night, what is faith? Because I know the Bible said what faith is, the things that we hope for. But what is faith? Faith is relationship with Jesus. Faith is believing him and being in a personal relationship with him. My brother and sister, hallelujah. The plan of God was never for this earth to be removed. He says that in Psalm 104:5, who laid the foundation of the earth that it shall never be removed. This was his original plan. But his original plan now, it's like he has a plan B. Because it's being removed. Hallelujah. But those that trust in the Lord, what happened? Psalm 125:1. But they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abide forever. As I was in heaven, God wanted me to see something special. As he showed me in the millennium, a woman will compass a man, says the prophet. I saw this. Now in heaven. I was in heaven a few days after the rapture. I began to enjoy the beautiful presence in mansion. I was in front of his mansion that I can recognize. The Lord had brought me there before. And the Lord had revealed to me that I'm going to have neighbors with me in heaven, brothers and sisters, from the Lord's hour. They're going to be my neighbors. And when the Lord revealed this to me, I rejoiced because I said, I'm going to have a great family in heaven that we can come together, my brother and sister. And I remember when the Lord showed me that we were in my mansion in the living room around the table sitting, all my brothers and sisters in the glorified body. We were sharing like in a meal together. And we were speaking wonderful things that God has done with us. It was wonderful. But in this revelation was different. As the Lord was leading me to go and knock to his brother's house, his mansion, I began to knock at the door. The brother was thousands of miles away. He's one of the brother now, his glorified body in heaven, this time in heaven. But the brother heard me knocking at the door. He was thousands of miles away. And I saw from the distance in the spirit, he turned around and flew back. He went back thousands of miles away. He flew back to the house. In a second, he was right beside me. And he said, Brother Owe. And I said, Brother, can we, like on the earth, have like a meal together where you and the brothers and sisters? But for some reason, I was knocking on his door in mansion. He said, oh, brother, you may come in. I come into his mansion. I'm looking at his mansion, and I marvel at how big it was and how beautiful. I began to look around. Whoa, brother. And I noticed he even had stove. He had things, but these were, I would say, specially made. I said, brother, have you used your stove yet? He says, no. He didn't have time to go into his kitchen, open the stove or open the fridge or anything because he has been spending time with God in the presence of God, enjoying everything Father has for him. And he's been talking to me about this, so I don't know how many months now. Mm-hmm. And this brother, I tell you, I was inside of his mansion. I was marveled at what God is giving him. My brother and sister, beautiful. Everything, he's going to love it. I know that he's going to love it. I was not allowed to go into his bathroom, things like that, because There are things that he's going to see it for the first time. No one else can. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But I tell you, it's going to be incredible. And this was days I knew after the rapture. We already got acquainted with heaven. We were already going out and doing this, doing that. It's like nobody has time for their mansion. I know people say, I'm looking forward to my mansion. But no one will have time for it. And literally, you will not have time because you will prefer to be doing and having other things like going to Father's throne, going and enjoying. Heaven is so big. Heaven is so endless. And there's so much you can enjoy. You'll see when you get there. There are endless of things you could be doing in heaven. And you're not going to be spending a lot of time in your house, in your mansion. For some reason, God wants to give us a house and mansion in heaven. But it doesn't mean that we're gonna be spending so much time. And we can go to it, to our house. We can go lay down. I don't know for what reason, because you won't be tired. But you can go sit around with your brothers and sisters, have a conversation as the Lord has shown me, enjoy everything that God has made for us. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I said, brother, do you remember when we did Grill on the Earth together and we, for all of us? And he says, yeah, brother Ellie, can we please have some time like this here? He says, yeah, of course we can. So I said, look, went into his kitchen. He had not used a stove or anything, and it was such an incredible stove. Like, wow, this is, you know, awesome. But we were willing to do this. He said, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. But the amazing thing is that when I saw him, he was moving in the power of God in heaven. He was learning things in heaven. Incredible thing in his glorified body that people would like to enjoy, the people looking forward to enjoy. He was enjoying God. He was enjoying the presence of God. He was enjoying the mystery of God. Like Sister Essence, who can move in the power of God so incredible, he was out there spending time with God, learning about God. I can understand that, yes. We're looking forward to spending time with God, and that is what it should be about. My brother and sister, look forward to the planning. God loves heavenly-minded people. Remember, Brother Richard? God loves heavenly-minded people. People that are looking forward to spending time with God, doing this, doing that. Because God, he's going to answer the petition of our heart. Is that what you love to do? God will give you plenty of time in heaven to do it. You will enjoy God. You will enjoy his presence. You will be full of peace. You will be full of joy. Okay? You will be full of his love, my brother and sister. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and I saw him, like, moving, like flying, but in the presence of God. He already, days after arriving there, he already knew how to do all these things in God. Because the knowledge in heaven, it is imparted into you, and you begin to learn it quickly, okay? Now, where do we relate this to? 2 Thessalonians 1. Go ahead, brother. Begin to read that. You're going to notice something here that I want to share with you. Thank you, Jesus.
Chapter 1, right?
Chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1.
Okay. Says Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be with you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you toward another aboundeth, so that we ourselves rejoice of you and the churches of God because of your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you suffer, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for the which ye also suffer. For it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you which are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall show himself from heaven with his mighty angels.
Okay. tribulation to them that troubles you. Notice that. That is, it's righteous for God to give tribulation to those that are troubling the church. So why are people staying behind? Because there are people that have turned against God, against the church. And it's righteous for God to give them tribulation, my brother and sister. But to us, what did he say we get? What is our reward in him?
Rest with us.
Rest.
Yeah.
That's the rest of the Lord. Enter into my rest, Jesus said.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the rest in heaven that we're going to enter very soon. Rest for us and tribulation for them. Jesus said, go ahead, keep reading, brother.
Yeah. Says, for it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you which are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall show himself from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, rendering vengeance unto them that do not know God, for which and which obey not unto the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which shall be punished with everlasting perdition from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints.
And okay, hear this. Who is coming to glorify in his saints? The Lord. The glorified body is Jesus glorifies in our lives. The glorified body is a manifestation of Jesus in our lives.
Yeah.
And soon we are about, Church of Christ, Church of Jesus, to receive a glorious manifestation of Jesus in our lives like you never seen before, my brother and sister. The great tribulation will be like you never seen before, like never be again. The manifestation in our life, my brother and sister, is going to be so special to us also because we have suffered for the Lord. Every single trial and testing that you and I are going through, hallelujah, will be rewarded with a glorified body. That glorious body will be manifested in us, that what we've gone through all these years, hallelujah, we will get the reward in having that glorious body. God's going to show it this way to show that he is faithful, that Christ is faithful, and that his son going to the cross was not in vain, but it was for him to manifest himself in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead.
Yeah. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be made marvelous in all them that believe.
Listen to this. He's going to be glorified in his saints. This is what I saw in heaven. And made marvelous. Marvelous. You cannot tell how beautiful is marvelous. Because that's why you say marvelous. Because you cannot explain it beyond. There's no word to describe marvelous. Every time how someone has a mighty experience of God, they say it was marvelous.
Yeah.
What does that mean, brother?
Yeah, yeah, the first word is you marvel. It's when you, like I said, when you're in awe, you can't really explain.
You can't explain it. There's no word to it.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, wow, it was incredible,
yeah.
Marvelous. That's what God has in store for them that love him. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's going to be incredible. And here it is. It's so close, like never people can imagine how close it is. You cannot even imagine. We don't know the day and hour. But I tell you something. This is closer than ever. I knew this in heaven because it was shown to me days after we got there. And then days before, I was taking days after the great tribulation had begun. Seeing what happened days after the great tribulation, and now seeing days after the rapture, what's going to be happening, immediately in my spirit, in my understanding in the Lord, from God, it's given me an understanding, okay, exactly what God said through the prophet Daniel. in Daniel 11:36. For that which is determined shall be done. That's what God was giving me in heaven. That which is determined shall be done. God was giving me. Nothing else, my son. What God has said, what God has determined, it is. And that is what is going to be done. That exactly. His plan. His agenda. My brother and sister. I heard someone say, let's ask the Lord for more time, more time. I was telling Brother Tony, I don't think I'll be one of those asking for more time. What do you think, Brother Tony? Should we ask for more time? Are we being greedy?
Not everyone's in the same, but for me, you know, the Lord, we know the Lord is, like we said, he's all into salvation. You know, he wants to save souls, and he's all about saving, you know. You know, it's not that the Father's not also, it's just that, you know, like we said, the Father's really angry with evil, you know, with sin. But, you know, like you say, like that verse, for that which has been determined shall be done. And you know, we understand, you know, we want to be with the Lord, but it's, when Father says that, when Father says, for that which has been determined shall be done, you know, when he says it, that's how it is, you know, that's how it is, you know. We did what we could, you know, because we have the mind of Christ, you know, we pray for others, we do the same thing, you know.
I fear God, let me tell you, I fear God. And fear of God is to stay away from evil, right?
Yeah.
To hate evil, I believe it says.
Yeah.
The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And, you know, I repent if I added anything. I repent if I take anything away from what I'm supposed to say. I'm repenting for things that, you know, I don't want anything to keep me from going to heaven. From God to say, well, you're going to have to stay because you said this or you did this. No. I'm checking myself with the Lord personally.
Yeah.
In that regard, I do not want to stay behind. I know the outcome of the people staying behind.
Mm-hmm.
Pain and suffering.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't want that for myself. I want to go with God. I want to be in peace and joy.
Yeah.
That's where I want to be. I want to be in the presence of Father. I want to be with God. I want to be able to go to the throne of Father and speak with Father and say, Father, tell me about this, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Explain this to me. I didn't understand this very, very well. Can you explain it to me? And have him give me an explanation one-on-one. Spend that time with him one-on-one. Uninterrupted. What do you say?
Yeah. No distraction.
No distraction. No cell phone.
Yeah.
No computer. No television. No internet. That time with him where we hear what he has to say. Where he will explain what is in our heart. And then as he answers what is in our heart, it gives us peace. It gives us fulfillment in our heart. Those many questions that some of us have in our heart, it makes you uncomfortable. It takes your peace away. But once the Lord answers what is in your heart, it'll give you peace about life, the future, heaven. You get to enjoy what God has for you. And that's why I want to be able to enjoy everything he has for us, my brother and sister. Amen. And when the angel came to Daniel, my brother and sister, there was some thing here that was told to Daniel in Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm a covenant with many for a week, okay? And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice, the oblation to cease. The Antichrist plan is to hurt the Jewish people. And the word it is that today is hurting the Jewish people. He's going to cease the... They finally will get to have a third temple. He goes now into the third temple, and he sees the sacrifice. For an overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be put upon the desolated. Notice the other word here again, determined.
Yeah.
The only one that determined things is God. And God said that it will be determined. Daniel 9:26, and after 70 in 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, as to the people of the prince. He shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be the flood. But the, see, the, going back there, I mean, the city in the sanctuary, that was the third temple in the sanctuary. The city of Jerusalem in the third, the second temple, I'm sorry, was destroyed. Then at the end thereof, there should be what a flood. This is the Antichrist coming with his army. With, I would say with the world army, where I saw Russia, China, United States, Germany, and other countries. They're coming against Israel, hallelujah, should be like a flood. Can you imagine a flood? Compare, it's like all the mountain of Israel, the valley, Armageddon, full of army from everywhere. Okay, coming against Israel like a flood. Until the end of the world, desolation are determined. Okay, so they're going to, the Gentile was straight up on the Jerusalem. But its answer is determined. Determined. Who determined everything? God does, my brothers and sisters. And our time has been determined. Go ahead, go back to, because we're talking about heaven here.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Back to verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be made marvelous in all them that believe, because our testimony toward you was believed in that day. Wherefore, we also pray always for you, that our God may make you worthy of his call, of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. That the name
wait, hold on. The work of faith? So faith there is manifest now in power.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see why the saint and the glorified body, when they get changed and transformed, they begin to move in a power to know what I have seen? Because now the faith is totally different.
Yeah.
It's working power now. And in the power of God. God said, it's like, my mighty power will be in you. Mm-hmm. Oh, my mighty power will be in you. So that gives you a clear understanding what is going to be happening in the days to come with the church when it gets changed and transformed. This is what in days.
Yeah.
We are so close. We just don't know the day and the hour, but we know, my brothers and sisters, I remember the Lord months ago began to talk to me about the 3 days of darkness. I was coming on the Lord's hour, excited to tell people, look, the 3 days of darkness is close, because the Lord was letting me know it's close, it's close. It's very close now, I can say, the 3 days of darkness, my brother and sister. I got to warn people with such an urgency, and I'm going to tell you why. We're about to go into a darkness on the, in the United States for weeks and months. And maybe a year. We're about to have power outages in the United States like people cannot imagine. This earthquake and this tsunami, the eastern tsunami that is about to, I heard the Lord with an audible voice spoke to me a few days ago that the earthquake in California will follow the eastern tsunami. It's very close, my brother and sister. And what the Lord has shown to me months ago is that we are not going to have power cell phones or anything that we are accustomed to until now. We're about to lose all that. So how do you live? You know, the Bible said, let not your flight be in winter. We're about to go in winter. If this happened this winter, it will be very difficult. I saw months ago that before the 3 days of darkness came, the day before, we already had gone through a judgment, and our country was in darkness. No cell phone. I tried to pick up the cell phone. It did not work. I thought it was mine for that. I asked other people. No, Brother Ovi. There were people there that had more information than me. There were people coming from different states to where we are now, here in Nashville, North Carolina. And I was asking them, what about your state? No power in my state. What about your state? Where you from? And I was asking people from different states. They had no power in this state neither. Okay? Now, some people say it might be an attack from Russia or China. You know, whatever it is. See, I had not asked for the details. I just know it's going to happen very soon. And what happens when it happens with us? Our trust in the Lord needs to be firm. We are not to be shaken or broken by what is happening. But I said to Brother Tony, we're going to get on our knees and pray. God has already been talking to us about having an emergency supply. We should already have it by now. If we have not prepared, we've been disobedient. And whatever people go through for being disobedient, we know it's very hard,
yeah,
very difficult. My brother and sister. So please understand and know, we are in the last of the last. In America especially, we are about to go into darkness. And when I mean darkness, not just the 3 days of darkness, just that's close. I'm talking about power outages, which I cannot point to the finger what led this nation to have no power at all. I just knew they had no internet and they had no power. EMP is what many have been preparing for. They believe Russia can launch an EMP on this nation and burn every capacitor, generator, televisions, wires. I didn't know that EMP can burn all communication wire. All power line will be burned by the EMP. I didn't know this. These are things I've been learning lately. The power of an EMP. Especially how Russia had made it, because they had to, the engineer had to, and scientist had put a lot of other things in it to make it worse, to be able to burn power lines, communication lines, internet lines, cell phone tower. Cell phone tower are going to be practically melted down, destroyed, completely useless. I mean, you can go on the cell phone tower after they launch the EMP and bring down the tower, you'll see it burn completely. Like your plasma TV, LCD TV will also inside will be completely burned, useless. Okay? There are steps you can take for your electronic not to be burned, like your cell phone. They sell on eBay, Amazon online, EMP bag protection for your cell phone, for your radio, for your communication devices, including for your television. You can make your own bag. They have material that can protect your cell phone from an EMP. Now, Brother Ben knows this, a trash, metal trash can, which they got them in Lowe's, Home Depot, different stores, Walmart. You can pick one up with a cover and put your electronic there and cover them. See, the timing is the problem. Because you can cover it today, open it tomorrow, and tomorrow it can happen. So it's very difficult. But it can be a protection from an EMP. I believe it's Governine cans. I believe when I have Brother Ben here, we talked about all these things. It's on the archive. You can go out and listen to it. My brother and sister. But these things are here at the door, about to happen, and I won't be able to come on the Lord's Hour and preach anymore. I know I'm preaching my last of the last of the last message. I know this. The Lord told me so very soon. I won't be able to come on the Lord's Hour. My brother and sister, it's practically everybody will be on their own with the Lord, with God. Whoever's here is here. Whoever's not is not. This is why the Lord wanted us, a bunch of us, to be up here together. So we can work together, brothers and sisters, and help each other. Help each other. And also, you know, we can still have each other here, Bible study, come together. But if we're all, like, separated, it's going to be very difficult. Because you're going to have to encourage yourself. You're going to have to encourage yourself. You're going to have to read the Bible on your own, you know, and all that. My brother and sister, the reason why God put us together before was so we can encourage one another before apostles to the Thessalonians, before we see that great day come. And that great day is practically here. So now, my brother and sister, hallelujah, we need to stay focused. Okay, the plan of God was for the earth not to remove Psalm 104:5. My brother and sister, and like Mount Zion, we should also be. Hallelujah. Isaiah 6:12, and the Lord have removed me far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land, says the prophet Isaiah. God removed the prophet from among the people. When the people turn away from God, God's going to do what he's going to do. Okay? Isaiah 22:25, and in that day, says the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fasting in the sure place be removed and be cut down and fall? The burden that was upon it should be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken it. There you go. The nail that was fasting. How many houses have been fasting with nails, Brother Tony? Most all of them, right?
Yeah.
God said they will be removed and cut down and fall. So he's talking about all these homes, all these houses, all these mansions. They're going to be cut down. They're going to be removed. Sure, God says. They were, shall the nail that is fasting in sure play be removed and be cut down and fall. Okay? It's going to happen. It shall be cut off, God says. All these homes, all these houses that people have put their trust in instead of the Lord, we can see the economy already going down and houses losing so much value.
Yeah.
Every day I get message online, okay, our houses being put on the market and houses price being cut off. It's happening every day. The economy is falling, and it's falling really fast, my brother and sister. God said through his prophet, okay, that the shall the nail that has been fasting in sure place be removed and be cut down in full. And the burden that was upon and shall be cut off. It's coming. Things are happening fast. My brothers and sisters. Here's the word that I remember. Isaiah 24:20. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. Okay? And it shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall. See, I didn't know that it was going to fall. That's why I saw it. I said, went to the side falling. But this, look what God says. And now rise again. No wonder one time when the Lord took me after all these things happened in the Great Tribulation, this was days after the rapture happened. Days after the Great Tribulation has begun, these things began to happen, and people were falling off. Houses were falling off. Mountains were removed. My brother and sister, what is coming? You can only read it in God's word, but to experience it, to experience these things happening, you do not want to stay behind to experience it. Because it's very difficult. It's very. I was grabbing to my bed. My house and everything was falling off. My wife was beside me asleep. And I remember grabbing onto her. And she didn't know what was happening. But I was grabbing to her like whatever I could grab to in this experience of the Lord this week. It was such a severe, shocking experience. It was real. This was the real experience I was going through. The Lord made it so real for me, my brother and sister. My wife didn't know what was going on with me because I was grabbing to her because everything was falling off. It's coming, it's close. And these were days. I knew days from the Lord. Okay, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. It's coming. Just like a drunkard is going to reel. My brother, to and fro. And shall remove like a cottage. You know how a cottage is removed? The earth will be removed the same. My brother and sister. And why is the reason that this is happening so violently? The transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it. The sin that is on the world today is too much for this world. The world cannot take it. The earth cannot take the sin that is upon it anymore. Especially with so many fallen angels around, so many people killing innocent babies. Where one stay in 1 month can have over 1,000 babies disappear. This is too much. This is too much. Someone had a dream not long ago, a few days or weeks ago, in heaven, it saw Jesus with millions of babies around him. Mm. And he says, they will pay for this. All these babies that are being aborted on the earth, killed, are entering heaven. The mercy of God. But the Lord God said, they will pay for this. They will pay for this. They're killing the innocents. My brother and sister, having no mercy on the innocent, God said they will pay. Hallelujah. Isaiah 30:20. Does the Lord give you bread of adversity and water of affliction? Yet shall not thy teacher be removed into the corner anymore. But thine eyes shall see thy teacher. We will see Rabbi Jesus. We will see him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. God said through Jeremiah 4:1, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. If thou wilt put away thy abomination out of my sight, then shalt thou not be removed. But that means that if people don't put away their abomination, okay, they're going to be removed. They're going to be removed. This removing is what I was experiencing. It's violently. It's severe. My brothers and sisters, I will not that anyone will be in the middle of this. Hallelujah. I don't know how much of this, Jeremiah 4:11, apply to the Israel right now. What do you think, Brother Tony?
How about the, yeah, he is this. You know, he is talking to Israel, and we know he's talking, you know, to, you know, all of us, the whole world. But, yeah, specifically he is talking to Israel to put their abominations out of my sight, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Going back to 2 Thessalonians, but you got the chapter 2 yet?
That was chapter 1.
Go ahead and finish that, because we want to read all three chapters.
Oh.
So I want people to see the plan of God for his church, for us, his people.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The last ones were, that chapter was, wherefore we also pray always for you that our God may make you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now chapter 2.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our assembling unto him, that ye be not suddenly moved from your mind, nor troubled neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as it were from us, as though the day of Christ were at hand.
Okay, hold it there. Notice how the apostle here began his letter to the churches, to the brothers and sisters, that they will not be moved or shaken by spirit. What is he saying there? That there will be teaching of spirit in the last days.
Yeah.
There will be demon teaching people. And what happened when they teach you? Go back to what it says about a spirit.
Yeah. That ye be not suddenly moved from your mind.
Move. Hold on there. Move. They will move people. They will have you go to other places for them. They will move you from what you are. Because when they can move you from what you are, you go into disobedience.
Yeah.
You can only be in obedience where God wants you to be. If you're not there, if you go like Jonah to Tarsus instead of to Nineveh, you are in disobedience directly with God.
Yeah.
And you can be convinced by word, by spirit, that you think are nice people, nice brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
But Paul says, go ahead, Brother Donnie.
Yeah, so that ye be not suddenly moved from your mind, nor troubled neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as it were from us, as though the day of Christ were at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a departing first.
Hold on there. He first started talking about spirit, that you'd not be troubled. And then he said, let no man deceive you. In other words, he says first that the spirit, and then he says that they're men. So you're seeing men and women. But Paul says first that they were spirits. My brother and sister. So you say, which is it, brother David? He first says they're spirit. Now he says they're men. Which is it? Who do you encounter every day? Men. But men that have spirit that are not who you think they are. Go ahead, brother. Keep reading.
Yeah. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a departing first, and that man of sin be disclosed, even the son of perdition.
Hold it there. By any means. Mean is a tool. Mean is the internet,
yeah.
Television, radio, cell phone, Facebook, Twitter. Those are means that the devil is using in the last days. To communicate to people one way or another. So tool. He's using all these tools to get people to have them change their mind, to have them change, to go someone else but that God did not send them to, like Tarsus, like Jonah. Why did God want Jonah to go to Nineveh? Because God wanted to save that great city. So why did Jonah went to Tarsus? Because Jonah wanted to go his own way. And he wasn't disobedient. Not only the trouble came to Jonah, but trouble will come to those that will shelter people like Jonah.
Yeah.
Because the people that shelter Jonah receive trouble from the Lord. The people that were trouble, you are someone that you've gone to, that you place that you've gone to, that you're not supposed to. You're bringing them trouble unto their own lives. And they're going to start receiving trouble. Everything was peaceful before you came to them. And then things are going to begin to happen to their lives that they will not be able to explain. But they're going to think about it. We did not have this trouble until she came. He came. They came. Because the people that received Jonah into the boat had no trouble until Jonah came into the boat. So in disobedience, you're not a blessing to anyone. You bring them trouble. You bring them problems. They probably had a strong economy. Now they don't anymore. They lose their jobs. Things begin to happen when a disobedient comes into the house, into the boat. My brother and sister, a lot of people don't watch for these things. You got to watch for these things. That's why when I meet people, when I come across people, I want to know from the Lord wants this person to be here or come here or not. Because if there's a Jonah among me coming to where they're not supposed to, they're going to bring me trouble. I have people don't think about these things. Be careful with Jonahs and disobedience in your lives. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Verse 4. Which is an adversary and exalted himself against all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he doth sit as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Wait a minute. You said that he showed himself to be in God. Did that sound familiar what we were reading earlier in Daniel?
Yeah.
That he exalted himself,
yeah,
and magnified himself above every God. So what is this, Brother Tony? What is this behavior in this man?
Yeah, that's very, very wicked, yeah. Very prideful, yeah.
Four persons began to warn the church about spirit, confusing them and bringing them confusion, right?
Yeah.
And then we find out that this Antichrist, which Paul began saying is a spirit, now he says it's a man. Man, he uses the word man.
Yeah.
Okay? Who will exalt himself and magnify himself, says Daniel.
Yeah.
My brother and sister, the word of God is so clear, and these things are days away. Days away. The word in Israel began. The rest of the judgment are at hand. Go ahead, keep reading, bro.
Yeah. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time.
Hold it there. Paul said that he had told the brothers and sisters about these things that will be coming. Why is it that these teachings are not going about every day from the internet or everywhere? There should be more teaching about this, because this is the man of sin about to be manifest into the world as the Antichrist. And we need to be knowledgeable about these things, but not only about us, because we're going home with the Lord, about those staying behind who are being deceived. We, for them, we need to let them know that when he manifests himself on CNN and Fox News, telling them the world that he is the savior of the world and going to Israel to set in the temple of God as God, he is not Messiah. He is not the one. Study him by the word of God and know his fruit. Because Jesus said, by his fruit, you will know them. You will know the Antichrist by the fruit. What is he talking about? Is he bringing you into a relationship with God? No. It's all about himself, Daniel said. He will exalt himself. He's not exalting God like Jesus. Jesus exalted the Father. He said, glory for men I will not receive. Okay? He wanted the Father love, the Father exaltation, the Father to be the one behind him. He exalted the Father. Hallelujah. The Antichrist doesn't do that. He exalts himself, magnifies himself. You know what that is? Pride. If there's any root of pride in your life, you need to repent pride like you haven't repented before. Because pride in our life is the seed of the Antichrist. It's the seed of Satan, my brothers and sisters. Please understand where we are today, the time that we're living. This time is so dangerous. People have no idea what they're swallowing and what they're eating of the Antichrist. They're being contaminated. My brother and sister, I saw it. Jesus took me days after the Great Tribulation. I heard people saying they should have been raptured. Why would they not rapture, they were saying? The Lord wanted me to hear that. Why? Because any seed of pride is not of God. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he which now withholdeth shall let till he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked man be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume.
Who is the one holding it back, brother? The Lord.
The Lord, yeah.
His spirit in our lives is the hope of glory, Christ in us. My brother and sister, Almighty God is in us. And if God is for us, who can come against us? The Antichrist cannot come against the church, because God is with us. And if God is with us, who can come against us? Right. He will not allow the Antichrist to hurt us. Yes, we are tempted. Yes, we are tested. But we know that temptation comes, according to James, out of our own desire, my brothers and sisters. And out of our own desire, we are enticed, my brothers and sisters. And God wants us to watch out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed is the man, James 1:12, that endured temptation. For when he is tried, this is God, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. God's test is for us to get a crown. Okay? But this is not the way the devil works. Now listen, let no man say when he is tempted. Okay? Because there's a lot of people blaming God for what they're going through. But God had nothing to do with what they're going through. Listen what the word of God says. Let no man say, and that's men and women, say, when he is tempted, that I am tempted by God. People say this all the time. They say that God is the one doing this. Okay? So, God cannot be tempted with evil. God will not tempt you with evil. Neither tempt to hate any man. No temptation comes from God. They come from the devil himself, from fallen angels, fallen demons, but not from God. Please listen to this. This is important. Because in your tempting time, take authority, bind that demon, and rebuke that demon in the name of Jesus. I had a sister contact me. She was going through something like this. And why is God doing this to me? I said, sister, hold on a minute. I want you to take authority over this temptation that you're going through. God is not doing this to you. Let's take authority over this right now and bind this in the name of the Lord. Begin to rebuke this in the name of the Lord. Yes, brother, and begin to do this. My brother and sister felt this stuff leaving her and began to feel free. She says, I didn't know this, brother Ovi. How do you know this? Let's go back to the word of God. Let no man say when he is tempted, as women do, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. God has in you evil to tempt you. It's not God. This is not God. And if you think it's God, you're going to let bind this demon, bind this principality, cast him away from your life. God is not doing this to you. The devil is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But every man, how does the devil get to you? But every man, I mean women, is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. What is the demon doing here? What is this principality doing here? He is using your weakness. He is using what you like and enticing you. Like they get enticed to pornographic material. Okay? Pornographic conversation. Okay? Different way the person is being enticed to be intended, enticed to fornicate and much other things. Okay? But it's not God doing this. This is not God. These are demons and principalities doing it. This is the work of the devil. But people are saying, why is God doing this? No, God is not the one doing it. You need to understand. Begin to take authority and bind this demon of your life, of your home. Because God is not doing this. It's the devil doing so. God is trial. God will try you. But for you to receive a crown, the Bible says. Not for you to fall. He's not going to give you a try that you will fall. No, he will not give you more than what you can handle. He will not give you more than what you can handle. Okay? Verse 15. When the lust are conceived, okay, it bringeth forth sin. Okay? For something to conceive, two needs to come together. That is basic. Okay? And sin, when it's finished, bring forth death. Okay? Open that door to death. That's why the person can be laying in bed, dying in the hospital, and someone needs to go minister to the person, pray for the person, for God to heal this person. Do not err, my beloved brethren, for every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and come down from the Father of life, for whom there's no variableness, and no shadow of turning. In heaven, there's no shadow of turning. Okay? Of his own will, he begot us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of a first fruit of his creation. A kind because Jesus is the first. And then we come to be in one with him. My brother, my sister. Thank you, Lord. So it is out of our own lust that the demon will use against us. Your own desire to use to entice you, to make you fall in sin, because when you sin, you fall. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's slow to be in anger. We cannot be getting angry easily, because that also will open the door for demons. When you and I get angry easy, we open the door for demon of anger to use us to attack us and make it worse. We need to be careful. For the wrath of man working out the righteousness of God. If you get angry all the time, there's no righteousness of God in that. There's only sin and evil. My brother and sister, in other words. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. With superfluity, my brother and sister, if we go explaining superfluity, how do we explain this, brother Tony? Superfluity.
I never really.
You know, we read another Bible that calls it homosexual.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You remember we were reading early one another Bible we have there. It calls that homosexual. Yeah. So lesbian sin, homosexual sin. That's what it's called. My son was reading it and we were like, wow.
Yeah.
It goes straight to the point. And that's the fact of the matter.
Yeah.
Okay? We have to call it for what it is. People start calling sin long time ago. And that's been a problem. Because then people sin and think it's okay. No, we got to call it for what it is. Okay? You women should not be feeling to be in a man or desiring to be in a man by having surgery to be in a man. Or the same with men, you should not be having surgery to be in a woman. Okay, and all that. If you're being attacked this way, that's a demon. That is a principality from the pit of hell. The devil is using your lust and your desire. It's enticing you to do these things. These things are not of God. You need to repent. You need to get in serious fasting and prayer, repenting before God, seeking God totally with all your heart, repenting of the sin, asking the Lord to set you free. He came to set the captive free. Okay? My brother insisted. This is important. Please understand. Therefore, lay all filthiness and superfluity and wickedness. Lay it apart. Take it out of your life. When you need to lay something apart, you need to take it out of your life. It's not okay for these behaviors. These behaviors are not okay. Filthiness. How do you explain that one? Full of
filthiness.
Sin.
Yeah.
Filthy sin.
Like sin.
Filthy means like four.
Yeah.
Filthiness. Yeah. Superfluity. Wickedness. Wickedness. And we see with meekness and grasp the word, which is able to save your soul. This word of God is so powerful. Because it's able to save us. My brother and sister, listen, we cannot judge people for being weak in this area. We got to pray for them and lead them to repentance. That's what we need to do. Pray for them and lead them to repentance. Okay? Because the Bible says that we have to consider ourselves when we're helping someone else. We need to consider ourselves. Because if you go through it, let's say in the future, you will want someone to be mature to help you with this. Okay? But if you don't have mercy on them that are going through them, you will not receive mercy when you go through it yourself. Okay? But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. See? We need to apply this word upon our lives. And this is what we need to look for every day. Applying the word into our own lives. So we know that if we're doing so, we're not deceiving ourselves. But if we don't do so, we could be deceiving ourselves. And that's why the Lord was showing me people that thought they were going home in the rapture, they ended up staying behind. What happened? They were deceiving themselves. Cannot deceive yourself. If you're not applying the word, you are deceiving yourself. It's applicable to us first. Hallelujah. And that's why me as a teacher, I got to look, seeing that I'm applying the word to myself because the Bible says even greater condemnation comes to them. So I have to be careful myself, be repenting, seeking the Lord to have mercy on me, my brother and sister. Because the Bible says that he that is firm, see that he will not fall, right?
Yes.
So we have to look for ourselves that we don't fall, my brother and sister. Verse 33. For any behearers of the word and not doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the mirror. So what he sees in the mirror is that's not him. Verse 34. For he beholdeth himself, he goes his way straight away, forgetting that the manner of man he is. Because, you know, thank you, Lord. Verse 35, but who looked into the perfect law of liberty and continued therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, his man shall be blessed in his deed. And that's the key. We will be blessed in what we do for the Lord. You know, and that's what we want to do. That's what we want to be. Blessed of the Lord. And every one of us are blessed of the Lord. And we can ask for it. We can seek it. And the Lord is faithful to bring it to pass. If any man among you seem to be religious and bring not his tongue, hallelujah, but receive his own heart, this man religious is in vain. But pure religion undefiled before God the Father is this, to bitter the fatherless and widow in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Which this is very hard to do, but it's not impossible because we got the help of the Lord. The Lord is a helper. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 3 right now. Will you finish too? Thank you, Lord.
We were still on chapter 2.
Go ahead. Read 3 now.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Furthermore, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free passage and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and evil men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, which will establish you and keep you from evil. And we are persuaded of you through the Lord that ye both do and will do the things which we warn you of. And the Lord guide your hearts to the love of God and the waiting for Christ. We warn you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh inordinately and not after the instruction which he received of us. For ye yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves inordinately among you, neither took we bread of any man for naught, for we wrought with labor and travail night and day because we would not be chargeable to any of you.
Hold on there. What the Apostle Paul is saying here, they gave testimony to the brothers and sisters about their behavior, how they walked for the Lord, worked for the Lord, lived for the Lord.
Yeah.
Everything they did it in order as a true Christian of the Lord. Keep reading, brother.
Not because we have not authority, but that we might make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we warned you of, that if there were any which would not work, that he should not eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you inordinately and work not at all, but are busybodies. Therefore, them are such we warn and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that they work with quietness and eat their own bread. And ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not this our saying and this letter, know him and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now the Lord himself of peace give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. This is salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand, which is the token of every epistle. So I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen. And then the last number 3. Thank you, Lord.
That was...
number 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. So as an example, hallelujah, then you, if you have mental disorder, PTSD, you have to just call upon the Lord for help and ask the Lord to set you free, to heal you. This is where you ask for mental, psychological healing from the Lord and commit your life unto the Lord. Remember the disciple, they were not all perfect. Some of them, like Matthew, believed to have PTSD. You see in the Chosen episode, Matthew, how they treat him are different than everybody else. And he had a really difficult time walking with them. But the Lord chosen him. The Lord elected Matthew. my brother and sister. And there were other people like Matthew. Okay? Whatever you're going through is not a surprise to God. And God will call us the way we are to come and serve him. Okay? But, you know, God is our helper. He will carry us. And no matter what situation, when they help us through it and set us free. That's why when John is explained about Jesus, the Apostle John, he says that John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But then John 8:36, he said, who the Son set free, it is free indeed. You got to ask the Lord to give you that true freedom, you know, and bring you to that complete freedom in him, which that's what I did myself. Hallelujah. And the Lord would have mercy. He's merciful. And will help you, because I'm sure so far the Lord has helped you and carried you and not left you, not forsaken you. That's who the Lord is. It's a wonderful God. My brother and sister, no matter what the situation been, I talk to people in different situations, in different health conditions, like you could not even imagine. And the Lord has been merciful with them and take them home to heaven, save them, no matter what the situation has been. My brother, my sister, God is merciful. God is good. He's asking us to call on him, to trust him, to depend on him, no matter what our situation is. Thank you, Lord. And he will help us through. My brother and sister, he will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He's there for us. Even if you're like sick now, even if you're going through whatever you're going through, the Lord will be merciful to you. My brother and sister, you read about in the back of the eunuch, these were slaves, men that their private part were cut off by the owner, and they were abusing and physically, beaten physically. But they gave their heart to God, to the Lord, and God saved them. God had mercy on their soul. And they're in heaven, all complete now, and all fullness. We're talking about a God in heaven who is merciful, who's only asking us to call upon him, that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, he says. And that whosoever is you and I, Jesus came that all creatures be saved. I asked this question years to Jesus. Where do all this include? And Jesus says to me, doesn't my word say all creature? All creature, all creation. That is you and I counted for. You and I, our name is in the book of life. We are counted for by God. He's just looking down to you and I. Are you calling to me? Are you praying to me? Are you seeking me? Are you coming to him? Why was America blessed years ago? Because America came to God. America prayed to God. America trusted in God. But now that America has forsaken God, abandoned God, turned it back on God, everything has changed. Was that the will of God? No. It was not the will of God. Because it's not the will of God that anyone will perish. Not his will. But as people have stopped calling upon the name of the Lord, It makes everything difficult for themselves, because they are the one not calling upon the Lord. They are the one not seeking the Lord. My brother and sister, and anyone that will judge you for what you're going through is not right neither. None of us should judge anyone. We're here to help people. We're here to pray for one another. I told people years ago, if you send me your prayer, I will add you to my prayer list. And I will pray for people. I pray for that prayer list every day. I ask the Lord to answer those people. My brother and sister, everyone who is in that prayer list. Thank you, Lord. And I know the Lord has answered many of them because he himself has told me so. Except when the Lord answers, are people turning back to the Lord saying, Lord, thank you. Now I want to commit my life to you more. Because I was going through this, so I had this. You went and healed me, Lord. You went and set me free, Lord. Now I'm going to commit myself more to you. We have prayed for people in wheelchair, but we don't know where they are now. We have people, brother, pray for me, brother. Pray for me every day in wheelchair. The Lord healed them. I haven't heard from them in months and years now. They're gone. When they were in the wheelchair, they were faithful to the Lord. But now that the Lord healed them, where are they? Where are they? You see that sometimes a healing to someone, when people have been sick, they've been faithful to the Lord when they're going through what they're going through. But once they got healed, they have even turned away from God. How is that possible? That someone that's going through the worst, now that God has healed them, they can turn away and say, that's not for me anymore. I want to go find out what, you know, what's in the world for me. It's sad. It's sad that this, but it happens. And it makes us sad, and it makes us think. But then the Lord had come to me and said, continue to work for me, my son. Continue to work for him. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that bring you down. You continue to work for me. Because it's true, it's sad. How people that were really sick years ago, brother, please pray for me, please pray for me. And we pray, and the Lord healed them completely, 100%. 100% the Lord healed them. Jesus came to them and healed them. The Lord confirmed this to me. And they're gone. I don't know where they are now. You know? My brothers and sisters, they're gone. They got healed, they're gone. My brother, what happens? Because if God heals you, you're supposed to be more grateful. Remember, there were 9 lepers he healed. How many turned back to Jesus to thank him for?
Was it one
or
that came back? Or?
I think it was 2. He says, there were 9 of you. What were the other ones? You see that God doesn't force people to turn back to him and say, I'm going to serve you because you heal me now, Lord. I'm so grateful. Okay? We were talking about this, keeping the promise to the Lord. Because it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, what does it say when you make a promise to the Lord, Brother Tony?
Yeah, to keep it. And if you're not going to make it, it's best to not promise him.
There you go. That's it. That is what it's all about. We make a promise to the Lord. We need to look forward to keeping it. My brother, God is not pleased when we do such a thing because then we're like liars. We made a promise. We didn't keep it. My brother and sister, hallelujah. So many healings, and they went away, my brother and sister. You know? And it makes me think for a while, wow. So much fasting, so much this, so much that, so much healing, where are they? But it was for the Lord that we've done this work. It is the Lord who's going to reward us. So we leave it in the hand of the Lord. And we focus on Jesus. We focus on salvation. Salvation is more important than a healing, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Well, here's Sister Celestial confirming everything we have spoken on tonight. Join us Tuesday night. We're going to keep it on the prophetic, where everything that is going on around the world, we're going to go into the Bible. I don't know if you missed Ezekiel 32 last Tuesday. It was so powerful. It was so awesome. We talked about what Ezekiel 32 says. It confirmed everything going on in the Middle East, the nation, Iran, and all of them, my brother and sister. If you missed that, you can go back to the archive and listen to it. We're going to go back again to Daniel 9. I want to show you in Daniel 9 what's happening in the Middle East in some other Bible verses so you can see, my brother and sister, hallelujah, that everything that is going on is in the Word of God. And we want to study it and research. But we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. That means keeping your eye on the Word of God. That no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. Okay? Because many Christ will rise. In his name they will say they're Christ. But the Lord God has not sent them. And that's what is about to come. The Antichrist is about to rise. Things are about to happen. And we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. The church is about to disappear. We're about to enjoy the promised land that God has promised to us.
2020 is the first time, at least to my memory, that prophecies of war, civil war, and government unrest were introduced. Before that, the prophecies I was covering on the Master's Voice Prophecy blog were just prophecies of government overreach, and Russia and China prophecies. Those are the first ones I started with. But then war was introduced, and then after that, captivity was introduced. And then those themes have kept coming, and it's been 3 years now. And so the understanding should be that when the Lord is saying that war is settled, it is that you then put your mind on what war is. What is a war? What happens when there is war? Or what happens when there are attacks? Or what happens when there is instability within a nation? And the reason that that's so hard for people to do is because in America, people are used to watching instability on TV. It's either you'll be watching a miniseries or a movie that talks about how America went to the Middle East and destabilized the Middle East, and then you'll be looking at scenes of those people in the sand dunes crying or what happened over there. And there is a distancing, there is a disconnect that is created when war, real war with real casualties, real people who lost their lives, when that is all crunched up and when it's diminished to your favorite show, then what happens is you watch this stuff with a disconnect, and you don't really have an understanding of what it feels like when you can't sleep in your own bed and you can't access your own stuff that you bought with the expectation that it's your stuff that you paid for and you're going to use it. Your pool you paid for, your car, your Jeep you paid for, your brand new screen doors and windows that you just put in, you know, to deal with whatever weather that's coming. When you're separated from these things, suddenly it's a shock. And the point is, as you will hear in this prophecy that the Lord was speaking about, the point is that people do not prepare. They do not prepare because there's no filter for understanding these things as anything other than, unfortunately, entertainment. It's either entertainment through TV or it's entertainment that you have been watching on streaming services, and so it seems not real. So this dream, I was just caught up in this dragnet of people who ended up running away from some kind of problem. The Lord never really revealed to me what the source of the problem was, so I didn't know if it was an external threat. I do not know exactly what had happened. All I know is that I dreamt that I was with a ton of people in a very large gym. And when I say gym, I'm not talking school gym size. I am talking about something that is massive. Not as large as Madison Square Garden, but it definitely was one of those massive sports arenas with bleachers that go all the way up to the top and that still offer a very good view. So it was one of those very large places that are reserved here in the United States for major sporting events. That's the kind of gym, quote fingers, that I was in. And this place was mostly low lit. So the majority of the lights were not on in this place. And later on, I came to understand why. The lights were not on, so I wasn't even able to gauge how big the place was. But I could see in the stands that there were a lot of people sitting in the bleachers, mothers, fathers, single people, kids, and they were basically trying to get to sleep. The only place that had lights and the only place that was mostly busy was way down courtside. So I was having a view as if I was in the stands, and then at the same time, the dream was offering me a view from courtside, which is where I actually was, up into the stands. So I could see downward and I could see upward in this dream. Only courtside was lit up, and that area was very busy compared to what was going on in the stands. In the stands, people were mostly resting. They were quiet. They weren't really talking. The majority of people were asleep, or they were uncomfortable in those bleachers where you're not exactly supposed to be sleeping. We sit in the bleachers, and we rest in the bleachers to watch the event. But that was bed for the majority of people. So people were sleeping. They had sweaters. You know, they folded their sweater and they put the sweater over their face, or they had these eye masks on and they were sleeping, you know, the kind that women use for beauty, or the kind you put on your eyes when you're flying. Or they had baseball caps pulled low and they were sleeping. And the gym kept filling up. So obviously people were being brought in. Either people were being bussed in because large groups kept coming in, which is more in tune with people coming in buses, people coming in trucks. But it could have been also that people were driving to that place, which was an emergency crisis center, and they were voluntarily checking themselves in. So I was watching down there, and I was seeing people getting processed on court. There were ushers, people with badges, not exactly official. So it wasn't like government official. It's more like when you appoint people in a community to do a certain job. Just like you have a homeowners association and, you know, they're a little bit above the rest of the homeowners because they're seeing how things run. That's how it was. These ushers were leading people and directing them, go to those staffing tables and get signed in. And so that was the first thing. As soon as you came in, there were people that were directing you to staffing tables that were scattered all across the court, the bottom court down there. And, you know, people would get into lines. But the lines were very efficient. The lines were moving pretty fast, and so people were not being inconvenienced with a long check-in time. And then after that, they were moving people to another station, and they were giving food. So people were getting food, and then you would see people down there pointing up as if to say, telling them, after you get your food, please don't linger down here. Please move out of the way because others will be coming in. They were directing people and telling them, go upstairs and find a seat. Single person, a woman with children, a whole family with a dad present or whatever. Go upstairs and try to find seats together and sit together. So people were coming up with their food. They would eat their food quietly and then they would try to fall asleep. And everybody was talking in low voices. The place was low lit. It was definitely to keep talking low, keep activity low, and also I could feel to keep stress low. So even when new arrivals were coming in and they were speaking in, you know, normal tone voices, getting off the bus and stuff like that, as soon as they walked into that place, the atmosphere was so heavy. The atmosphere in that dream was so hushed. The atmosphere in that dream was so glum. I do not know what had happened. Then when people walked into that atmosphere, nobody was making any announcements like, please keep your voice down. Please don't talk that much. They walked in and automatically they would lower their voices and just calm their whole demeanor. And they just, the tone of the place, the atmosphere of the place just came upon them. And nobody was doing much to cause any disruption. Now, in this dream, I had a lot on my mind. I was burdened in the dream. I was burdened when I woke up. And that's what happens. I was aware that I'm in this strange place at night. It couldn't have been very late, maybe 8:15, 9:15. It wasn't the middle of the night or anything like that. But 9:15, you're supposed to be getting ready in your own house to rest up in your own bed, familiar elements. But I was in a strange place with so many unknown elements at night. A place that I don't know, crammed into one spot with maybe hundreds or thousands of people, and nobody's able to give me or anyone else any real explanation of what comes next. So no official plan, no official announcement. The job, the assignment is simply, you guys are coming in, we need to get names, we don't want to get kids separated from families, or we don't want families to be split up. If you're the Johnsons, if you're the Smiths, please each person write the name, or the father writes everyone's name and put down the relevant details so we can know, so we can have an accurate log of who came through here and then move on. We can offer you some food and then we can offer you a chair and we'll see what daylight brings. So that's why most people had switched off. Nobody wants to be thinking too deeply in situations like this. Nobody wants to put their mind on what's going on with the house, what's going on. Maybe we had to leave the animals behind because I didn't see any animals in that place. So people are thinking, is the house going to get robbed? Can we trust the alarm system? Other people are like, oh, wow, my whole life I never had an alarm system and now my house is just there. Too many unknowns, and I knew that I wasn't the only person thinking like that, feeling like that. So that's why they had us in the dark, just to try and keep things at a low level. And I was downstairs, then I saw myself and I was downstairs right there as they were processing people. And I don't know if I had been processed or not. I just had my go bag, my ready bag. And I was just sort of to myself, you know, just keeping my hand in my jacket pockets and just feeling really isolated And just thinking the same thought over and over again. And the thought I was thinking is, why, God? Why? Why, Lord? Why do I have to be here? Why am I not at home? I didn't even know, is it New York City? In the dream, am I in New York? Am I somewhere else? I just knew that I was in some emergency relief center that they had turned a gym into, and there were plenty people there and even more arriving. And soon we're going to be all so many in that place, and nobody was being allowed to go home. I didn't see soldiers. I didn't see dogs. I didn't see a perimeter, but I just knew once we're in here and we're lost, we're not going to be allowed to go home. And I just couldn't rest. I didn't want to go look for any chair. I didn't want to eat no food. I just wanted to be allowed to go home. And when I woke up from this dream, I was down in my heart because I've been having these dreams. I've been having these dreams of one dream is sudden explosions. Sudden explosions that just happened and you have to run for cover. You have to run for cover. In another dream, this one I definitely remember because it was recent. It was from October the 21st, 2023. In this one, the government had expanded its power so much, and I was not in New York. I guess the Lord just gave me this dream from the perspective of people maybe who live in Kentucky, Omaha, places like that where they have their homes, and then it's a bit of a drive to your neighbor's home, but you're not really isolated. Maybe you're a couple of miles from the nearest neighbor, or there's four or five of you in an area, and you all know each other, and you drive past on this road, past each other's houses, but it's definitely not a suburb like, you know, you would have in city areas. So it was in those areas, and we had become accustomed to running off to the fields and the woods when the government came. I do not know what the government was coming for, but if you have been here long enough, you definitely know that the government will be coming for many things. They will be coming for harassment. They will be coming to check who's maybe storing food above the available food quota. They might be coming just to ask questions. They might be coming to take a census or a log of who's living in the house. They might be coming to demand that somebody is an enemy of the state. Maybe you've been accused of saying something, or your social media has the kind of videos that are suddenly seditious videos, treasonous videos, evil videos. And so they were in the habit, the government, of just showing up at the house. And the people in that area, myself and family included, were also in the habit of just sprinting off to the fields, sprinting off to the woods. And you could go to these fields, you could go to these woods, and depending on what kind of search and seizure, what kind of raid procedure the government was doing, sometimes we would stay out there all night. You'd be out in those fields watching twilight come and watching, you know, the little stars coming out at night and the moon coming out at night, and it still would not be safe to go back to the house. And so these are the kinds of dreams. And when I would wake up, my soul is burdened and heavy, and I'm thinking, Lord, these are things that are not easy to bear. And, you know, the Lord will just comfort me and just tell me, you know, don't worry about that. So I'm not going to be lack any transparency here. A lot of these dreams that I'm having, I have made it very clear from the beginning that the Lord is just using me as a vessel. The Lord is using me as a vessel to show the kinds of things that are coming. But he gives me a word of promise. And concerning this dream where I am telling you, my soul was fed up. I was with my backpack and they were saying, you know, the food is there. And I was like, well, that food is for you and your family members. I'm not interested staffing people in that food. I was grieved and I was thinking, Lord, why am I here? Why am I here? And the Lord just told me, this is not for you. Don't let this concern you. I am just showing you what will be. And so I come here and I'll be telling people these things, the truth. I am telling you the truth. It's not my job to come here and stop you and telling you if you want to watch MAGA videos, don't watch them. If you are plugged into the election and you're following step-by-step impeachment processes, don't do it. You can do whatever you want. But there is a remnant that God is trying to speak to, and that remnant falls into many different categories. There is a remnant out there who the promise of God to you is exactly like mine. Exactly like mine. And you don't need me to tell you, because even if you listen to these videos, you have something, a witness in your soul that the Lord tells you Celestial is speaking the general truth, the broad truth, but under that broad umbrella, there are definitely levels. People who are unfaithful to God, you should not think for a second that because you name yourself the tag Christian, that this thing that I'm saying, that the Lord is telling me, don't you worry your head about this, Celestial. You are merely observing a reality that will be, but it is not for you. That is the comfort that God is giving me due to personal things that I know. I'm not walking around with two minds, six minds, and 12 opinions when it comes to God. I'm walking around with a single mind that if he has said it, as much as it is up to me in this mortal body to link onto what is in the Word of God and follow it, to be loyal, not to be a child that is out there saying, but, you know, what about this? And I just don't feel that it was God's heart to do this and do that. I do not participate in such things. The Word of God is the Word of God. I was born way after it. I met it here. I have absolutely no interest in challenging it, changing it, or trying to make it fit my culture, my time, myself. I understand at a core level that it is me who is supposed to change for this word. It is I who is supposed to give all room to this word. If there's any impediment in me, my job is to pray it out, to ask the power of the Holy Spirit to root it out so that the word can take root and grow in me. And when you do that, when you make that your posture, when you make that your pursuit, when your Bible is more important to you than a paycheck, what happens is that when fireballs are coming from the sky and you wake up sweating from those kinds of dreams, you'll be told, write it down, but it is not for you. There are people, I'm going to tell you this now because this is not a separate prophecy that needs to be written on the blog, but the Lord has said to me that very soon we will come into the time where all the reluctant Christians are going to learn obedience by the things they suffer. Now, this is a phrase that was used of sinless Jesus Christ, that Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. This is just the Bible telling you that a man who was sinless upon the earth, that offended God in no way, was subjected to some serious horrors in order for him to attain to the fullness to which he was called. Jesus was called Messiah from the womb. This is what Angel Gabriel told his mother. His mother was not told a great prophet is coming, like what the Muslims call Jesus. They call him a great prophet. The angel told Mary succinctly that the Son of God was going to come and dwell inside her, first physically, and that she was bringing forth Messiah. There was a ton of folklore and a ton of recorded prophecy about Jesus before he was born. People like Isaiah made sure of that. Moses spoke of this man long before he came. And so when Mary was told who was coming to rest inside her, there was already written legacy for Jesus. There was no need for him to be humbled into obedience with slaps and a crown of thorns and his blood flowing from his hands and his feet and his torn up back. Yet the Bible says that he was humbled. He learned obedience. And the Lord has said that the same will happen to the reluctant Christians. Reluctant Christians are Christians who think that twerking and righteousness go together. A reluctant Christian is a Christian who thinks that the Word of God is an optional buffet. So they like to read God is love and Jesus forgives, but they don't want to learn be holy as I am holy and all the rest of it. They have trouble marrying righteousness, holiness, sanctification, and that very important facet that most people are missing or failing at or only doing intermittently. Obedience to the Word of God. Obedience means you come to a place where the Word of God says this, and then you say, funny story, I agree. And then you fall in line with that thing, and you begin to carry out that thing in your life. That is obedience right there. Anytime you come up to the Word of God and you say, well, you know, this is a bit restrictive and this is not inclusive and this does not carry out the norms of diversity that we want to carry out now in 2023, there's a problem. You become a reluctant Christian. The promises of God You can attain to them as a reluctant Christian, but you will attain to them through your own personal flogging. God will humble many people. God has said that he will allow many people to go through crushing circumstances. Crushing circumstances are personal tests and trials that will humble you. You will be put to shame. You might lose that business. You might lose that fancy job title. You might lose that marriage. You might lose many, many more things. You will come out a pulped up olive at the end of some experiences that will come to people who are still holding out on God. And as I'm speaking to you, my words will not just knock at your heart. They're going to go right in like laser beams and hot arrows on fire. You will know that I'm talking to you. You will know where you hold out on God. You hold out on God in purity. You want to be a Christian, but you also want to have sex. And then you want to say that God knows your heart. Your heart is infinitely wicked. It is deceiving you. It is telling you that you can elevate fleshly desires above what the Word of God says. There are so many different viewpoints about what sanctification is and how much holiness is holy enough to get into heaven. The answer is simple. Absolute holiness. We are told to deny ourselves, to deny fleshly desires, but many people do not want to put in the effort that goes with that. And so people are holding out on God. They're holding out on God even when they're in church and how they serve. The Lord has been speaking about all these things, about speaking with people and, for instance, tithing. I have the Word of God. It is just a matter of having to put it up. There's so many viewpoints about, well, what is a tithe? And people are saying, no, it was a cow and a sheep. And God will just say to me, Celestial, do they work with cows and sheep? Those of you on Twitter and wherever else, you're talking about, oh, no, it's not required. It's cows and sheep. He just asked the simple question. Is your life summed up in cows and sheep now? Because the old people, they made their living. They traded in animals. So there were sacrifices for cows and sheep, sacrifices of wool, sacrifices of them bringing their barley offering and their wave offerings. And even to the poor, they were told, do not appear before the Lord empty. So even the poor had to work it out somehow and come with those two little turtle doves, which were probably the cheapest little birds you can afford. But in this generation, all the teachers and teachers are out there creating new doctrines to follow. So what are we to do with the reluctant Christians? I know for my part, what I will do is read every word out of my notes, out of my archives, and simply leave them on the table for people to do with them what they want to do with them. And bear in mind, I have absolutely no views on the endings, the final conclusions that viewers come to. I will simply deliver the word of the Lord. Just a moment, please. And then everyone, myself first, will do with them what they will do. So there are people to whom there is a guaranteed promise. That promise sounds something like Revelation 3:10. And God would have already been speaking to you about that. And then there are people who you're just a little way off. It's just a little bit of tweaking. It's just a little bit of, I need to brush up. It's just the fact that you just need to confess that you've been slacking. You are already in the house. You're already dressed in the garment. But because the pastors out there have deceived you, you now started eating your peanut butter sandwiches and getting some slop on your clothing. But because they keep telling you reckless love is the greatest love of all, then you just feel God won't mind. God won't mind, but he will. And so for you, it is not a far distance off to strengthen the weak knees, to strengthen your backbone, to perfect your posture before the Lord. But there is a hard-headed contingent out there. And the Lord says that you will be basically dragged through these bushes and nettles and thorns of personal trials, bitter personal trials that will humble you. You will start singing to God out of the pain of what you go through. You will learn worship at the feet of humiliation, shame, loss, trial, great pain. Your back will be opened up like the Savior, because apparently his back being opened up for you was not enough to get you into line. The Bible says, do not be like the horse. Don't be like the mule, because they must be brought to order. They must be brought to obedience with the bit and the bridle. That means that you cannot have a horse or a mule that will follow you, that will obey you, and that will get the work done until you put that harness, until you put that bridle on them, their head, their shoulders. And I think it's the belly. I'm not really sure how that thing works on a horse, you know. But it's restraints. You will be put under so many limitations. You will be put under so many restraints. You will not be able to twitch or move. The job will go. The house will go. The apartment will go. The position will go. The fiance will go. You will go through a Job experience, a Jonah experience. Come out of it smelling like fish guts. But the beauty of it is you will be obedient. You will no longer be a reluctant Christian. You will be a full-blooded, locked and loaded, Jesus is Lord Christian. They ask you about gay rights and you'll be like, to me, gay means happy. I do not know any other description for the word gay. You will have a 180 shift by force. And it's a pity that you must be compelled. But God's got time. He's got all eternity, because his end is to save your soul. And he will save it with your agreement or without it, because that's what good parents do. Parents don't ask children to co-sign discipline. That's the new habit now. Honey, do you understand what you did wrong? And the child is smashing up your home because apparently you think that a puppy and a baby are raised the same. God doesn't sign on to American parenting. This is Israelite parenting 101. He will bring the reluctant Christians to heal in order to save their souls. So, when I woke up from this dream, the Lord was talking to me about complacency, and he gave good examples of what complacency is, and he said that America is going to be judged for her complacency. So if you've been listening, you might be thinking, Lord, in all honesty, how many things is America going to be judged for? And the answer is endless. Endless things, endless sins that America is going to be judged for. As many directions as you want to look, up, down, north, east, southwest, you name it, judgment will be coming forth from that direction, because America has a lot to answer for. And so he was telling me that complacency will be the reason that America is judged. Complacency is where you feel secure in the status quo as it is. So exactly the way things are, especially when you're on top. It's very hard for somebody who's at the bottom, struggling, trying to make it, trying to survive. It's very hard for that person to be complacent, because the environment, circumstances, and what that person is going through, lack of resources, lack of help, lack of skills perhaps, somebody won't give you a shot. Like people who come out of prison, it's very hard for those men and women to rebuild their lives, because once people find out you have a prison record, they're like, ooh, no, 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 you might murder someone at my job, or you might steal again. And so it's very hard for men and women who come out of the prison system to have a second choice, a second chance. And that's why there's specific organizations set up to try and help those people rebuild lives and get on their feet. But complacency is a disease that stems from the root of pride. And complacency is usually a disease that affects those who are on top, those who are doing well, those who the status quo favors them to begin with. And so the Lord says, complacency is where you feel secure in the status quo as it is, meaning that you're already top dog, you're already on top, you already have a reputation, okay? You have a rep and everybody knows what it is. And he says, because of that, you are not inclined to do anything more to create improvement. So complacency, in short, is a disease of empire And I've spoken of this before because the Lord always brings it up, and he talks about places like Pompeii. He talks about places like when Rome fell. And if you remember in the very early videos, the civilization that people argue, was it there, was it not there? God confirms that it was there, the civilization of Atlantis, people who reached the heights of civil development. And the reason they reached the heights of civil development in Atlantis is because they were consorting with the fallen angels. They were consorting with aliens and creatures that gave them so much development in healthcare, so much development in building, so much development in everything, that these people became a highly advanced society. And they were even intermingling, interbreeding, and intermarrying with these people on the surface of the earth. And this situation infuriated God so much that Atlantis sank to the bottom of the ocean. It sank out of sight. It was either covered by a tidal wave or the shelf that it was sitting on just broke, gave way, and it went into the sea. And it has remained so-called mythological location. It has never been found to this day. But when you reach that height, you feel that there's no room for improvement. You're doing so great. What could you possibly improve on? You're perfect. It's being self-satisfied. It's being okay with things to such an extent, in fact, that even if someone were to say, do you think that any improvement is needed? Do you think that you could perhaps do anything different? The answer is going to be, no, I don't think so. Things are great as they are. So this is what God was giving me very early conversation, early morning conversation when I woke up, and I was so fed up of this dream of sudden surprise, shock and awe, having to run, and in some cases not even know what I'm running from, just running and ending up with a bunch of strangers, ending up in the system, so to speak. And he was just telling me, no, I'm just showing you what will come. And then he started telling me that this is how America will end up in that situation. It's because she's complacent. Just give me a moment to do something about the light, please. So I continue. Complacency is a form of delusional self-assessment. It's basically like that test where they say, you go for an interview and then they say, well, what are your strong suits? And then you say, oh, I'm good at this and I'm good at that and I'm good at that. And then they say, well, what do you think are your weaknesses? And then you look at the interviewer and say, I don't have any. That is a delusional self-assessment. If you're certain that things are okay, then you will never have any reason or motivation to do an actual self-check and be sure that reality lines up with what you believe. Complacency is also dangerous. You feel secure in the status quo, and that means that even if you hear something, please listen, because this is all the old prophecies, like enemy at the gate, like the heart attack. These are the names of prophecies. Enemy at the gate, the heart attack, wrath is upon the land, undone. If you feel insecure, if you feel secure in the status quo, it means that even if you hear something that disagrees with or disproves your view of reality, you will never do any research to see if the new facts are true or not. And if they are true, how could that affect you? To be complacent is to have no real feelings or response in response to anything that is different from what you believe. No set of new facts will interest you because you don't think anything can ever affect what you believe. So this is basically you thinking that you are at the center of the universe, that the whole world revolves around you, and that if there ever are changes in the material facts of life, they will adjust themselves, the facts will adjust themselves to suit you. So you never actually need to check if your gates are secure. You never actually need to check if you have Russians in the government. And that means that if anybody should prophesy, whoever that person may be, and say that Jesus Christ says that there are Russians in your government, that the Russians go all the way down from the mailmen all the way to the highest office in the land, which is the White House, that they're not just spying through the computers, which at least you might know that they do spy, perhaps, and that they do hack, But God would say that they're in the country and that they're embedded in the national fabric and that they've been here for so long on a sleeper agent plan that they are more American than Americans. They have the same blue eyes or brown hair. They've intermarried perfectly. They are seamlessly matched into society. They even form part of the celebrities and the stars that people love, and that they are seeded from the lowest level, which is kiddies playing in the playground, all the way up to the White House. Now, if you are wise, and if you are one given to thought, then when you hear this information, you might think this needs to be investigated. This needs to be checked. But if you are complacent, then you will say things like, that can never happen. And if you hear, for instance, that China has weapons that you've never heard of, and that they're going to show up with sudden weapons and with Russia and a whole coalition of nations unleash war on both coasts at the same time, if you are wise, you might think, well, at least we can see now in 2023 how these twin horns are rising very quickly to prominence, and this might need investigation. But if you are complacent, then no matter what videos you look at on the internet, in the comment section, you'll see Americans saying things like, that can never happen. They don't have a military that we should care about. We'll knock them out of the sky. Have you seen the Air Force? Have you seen the Navy? Have you seen the Marines? Have you seen the Coast Guard? Have you seen the reserves and the army? That is what complacent people do. They never, ever think that the status quo can be shifted or changed, or can be shifted or changed materially enough to be a big risk to them. And so God says that anywhere you find facts, anywhere a complacent person comes across facts that does not support their beliefs, anywhere that danger is lurking in the corners that the complacent person doesn't care about enough to check, anywhere that the status quo is changing in real time, such as suddenly having the director of the FBI and that other Blinken man saying that we should prepare for the possibility of terror attacks on U.S. soil, which, by the way, will primarily be done by the U.S. itself against citizens. And there are three prophecies to that nature. They're called, just a moment, please, in quick succession. That is what they are called. It's a three-part prophecy all the way from 2020 called In Quick Succession. And those three prophecies, all the way back then, God was saying that America is going to be subject to scare tactics. America is going to be subject to false flags. America is going to be subject to a rash of bombings and accidents across the country. And he said that all those things will be done internally within our borders, and that even if other people are blamed, we should know that it is all part of a larger plan to do what? To get the U.S. military out on the street in full force, because that is how the New World Round Letter, Final Letter, NW, you know what, is going to come into play. It's going to come into play in America on the back of a strong military that we already know we have, but a visible military, which we have not really seen before. And the Lord says, America, your punishment is to see your own government, your own arm of power, your own soldiers, weapons, tanks, military awe and control on the street, martial law, tanks rolling by, as I saw in the vision, with fathers, mothers, and children standing by, shocked to see, I don't know the technical names of tanks, so let's just call them tanks. Tanks rolling by in the open streets as if this was Stalingrad and Leningrad on military parade day. So here we are now, the old prophecy, two more good years, given in October 2022, and we are at the end of just one good year. America, Iran, Syria, Israel, everybody else threatening each other, everybody else moving the chess pieces. And it is only one year that has passed since that prophecy came, where the Lord said that America, you will be staring down the barrel of war. and so on. When facts exist that don't support what you believe, and even if there's danger and you won't investigate it, when you can see the status quo changing and the FBI director and whoever else is telling you that they have reasonable suspicion of terror attacks on U.S. soil, but the nation is not changing in real time to meet those facts, or the nation still feels, please excuse me, the nation still feels generally that we're okay, our guys are okay. God says you have entered a state of complacency. You're saying that you choose to remain stagnant because you think that you are greater and more powerful than reality. You're saying that you don't have a need to change because you can never really be put at risk. Being complacent is saying that you are above the need for change. Even if you find out that there's a risk, you are still confident that you can handle it and that any risk you may find, any risk at all, from the bear and the dragon, for instance, is still a low risk that will not affect you. This is a quote. Complacency has killed greater nations than this one, and it will kill this one too. And then I just wrote here in parentheses, Atlantis, which I already described just a few minutes ago, that this is the example that the Lord has been bringing forth over and over and over again, that Atlantis became so powerful, so advanced, so superior to any other civilization around at the time that they truly thought that they were outside the reach of any harm. Because if you have fallen angels zipping around in open society as they used to be in those days, maybe there's superior flying technology, maybe there's superior water technology, things that people wouldn't actually be able to replicate again for thousands of years. They overlooked one thing. They were at risk from God. And so America will be judged for its complacency, for its expectation of always being on top. For thinking it cannot be attacked, America will be attacked. For thinking itself safe in the midst of a destructive world climate, angled sharply towards survival of the fittest. So God is saying here, for America thinking that it's untouchable and it can't really be affected, even if it can see the world climate, the political climate, the international arena is changing, and it's beginning to take a sharp turn towards survival of the fittest. Who's going to be our ally? Who nations are seeking who to align with, who to line up with, who to back, who to vote for and vote against? So God says that we're entering a time of survival of the fittest, where you need to be fit, or at least the fittest. But God says that America is not staying fit, but assuming that its past fitness is still enough to maintain victory. So this is exactly, for instance, like an Olympic sprinter who has won 2 Olympics and has stayed at the top of his or her game. And then there starts to be chatter in the wind of a hot new sprinter, maybe in 100 meters or maybe in the whatever else that they have. A hot new sprinter coming up. And you begin to hear chatter and you begin to hear rumors, but every time you look at those Olympic medals on the wall and every time you look at all the trophies from all the different games that you go to during those 4 years before you have an Olympic, if you have a victory cabinet that is big enough, like America has a victory cabinet that is huge, then you will assume that the rumors about that hot new track star are exactly that. Rumors. You won't bother to get any tapes of that other sprinter to see how fast they go. You won't actually tap into the chatter and say, well, who's coaching this guy? Who's training this girl? Is she running on flat terrain or is she running all over the hills and the mountains like the Kenyans do? And that's why they're usually unbeatable at the Olympics. You won't bother to find out the fighting style of the supposed rival. You won't bother to do any digging. And that's because you're complacent inside. And the victory cabinet is reinforcing your complacency by telling you, we didn't get all that because we're not fit. But when the landscape is changing, God says, and you don't stay fit. and you assume that past fitness, the victory cabinet, is enough to still get present victory. The Lord says for that, America will be surprised, ambushed, overrun, and captured all in a single day, according to the prophecy of Mystery Babylon. So, here are the Master's voice. It has been said 1,002,000,000 times that the United States is Mystery Babylon, that there is no more mystery anymore. The Lord has firmly pointed his finger at all the nations of the earth and landed it on the United States of America and revealed who is the nation that is being spoken about in Revelation 17 and 18. And here is the verse that I was given. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure, meaning to the exact amount that she did A, give her that same amount. And here is what was given to Mystery Babylon. In the same measure, give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And this verse is saying that exactly what Mystery Babylon did in the earth, causing death, mourning, and famine, causing women to miscarry their babies from the stress of sudden invasion and from the stress of sudden bombing and from the stress of occupation and from the stress of soldiers going over to places where they don't speak the language and they are on edge by watching people look at them with hatred, like, why are you here? And you get nervous in those situations and you become cruel because you're actually scared and because you know that there's less of you and more of them. And so, to the same measure that death and mourning and famine were caused to others, Mystery Babylon will see the same. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And this is Revelation 18, verses 7 to 8. And God says that America will also be judged for corruption. He said that the USA is a highly corrupt nation, and it's defiled in its operations to the point that all its people have been defiled by the same spirit. The nation is evil because the people do evil that is visible in the whole society. And so some of the corruption, if you may or you may not know that there's a really huge situation going on in the real estate, market right now, and they've busted a whole ring of realtors. These are the people who sell houses. So people want to sell their houses, and the owner can sell his or her house by themselves. But a lot of people choose to go with these realtors because the realtors have connections and the realtors have situations set up. It's their job to be able to get you the right buyer and to facilitate the sale. And then the realtors can ask for a commission. But it's now been exposed that there's a whole bunch of realtors. I did not go into the case, but it was just interesting to me because this case broke and was trending yesterday at the same time that God gave me this prophecy very early in the morning, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., and then I wake up and one of the first things that's trending here is this bunch of realtors busted for collusion behind the scenes. Collusion trying to get higher fees out of a person wanting to sell their house. If the person feels, no, this company is asking too much money, I'll go to the next company. The two realtor companies are working in the back to match their prices. Basically, these realtors are establishing a monopoly in the background away from clients. And so no matter where you go, the homeowners were not getting a fair deal. And so they've been fined or they've been found guilty of doing this to the tune of $1.8 billion. Now, please understand, these are not major corporations like Amazon and Walmart and things like that. It's just ordinary men and women who take their kids to soccer practice. Normal men and women who smile and say, hi, I'm Marcy, and I'm here to help you sell your home. Hey, I'm Kenneth, and I'll get you the best price on the market. Trust me. So they have these ads. This is just ordinary people operating like an upmarket mafia. This is an example of corruption. Corruption is when you see an apple in the supermarket and it looks great and you think, oh, Granny Smith, I'm taking you home. And you take that thing home and you wash off whatever that poison they have on it, and then you bite in and it's spongy. And you pull your teeth back thinking, what is this? And it's gray all through, and it has a very interesting heart of worms at the core. That is corruption. And the Lord says that the corruption in the USA is now visible in the society. So I took the time to find out and to define corruption so that it can be understood. Listen to these definitions, please, and tell me which one does not apply. Corruption is, number one, dishonest and fraudulent conduct, especially from those in power. Corruption, when it deals with those in power, involves things like nepotism. This is favoring one person over another, and this is usually your family member. So God is saying that America, the power structure, might put your son-in-law in a very powerful position, even though he has no training for it. Or corruption might put your son in a very powerful position, even though he has no training for it. Corruption might be a woman in high position, and she and her husband going around charging exorbitant speaking fees simply because their last name is Clinton. That is what corruption is. It involves bribery and other practices that limit people from rising to positions based on merit because you have interferences of other illegal things, such as lobbies that pay senators and bribe them and send them cigars and take them to expensive, all expenses paid weekends and take their families to Disney World and take them on private yachts and get them prostitutes and then film them, and then send them the pictures when they're in chambers to threaten them that they should vote a certain way. That's corruption. Dishonest, fraudulent conduct, especially from those in power. The second definition is, corruption is the process of changing words or expressions from their original meanings to new meanings that are typically wrong or debased. So this is saying that we don't have two sexes, but we have, I think in New York, we have 31 recognized genders. So it's no longer man and woman. It can also be non-binary. It can be binary. It can be cis. It can be trans. It can be rainbow. It can be cockatoo. It can be two-spirit. It can be a ton of other fun things that should all be given equality with the two fun things that Jesus made, man and woman. Male and female made he them. But America says, let's get some brand new changed words and some changed expressions in here and simplify things. That's what a lot of the argument is. Let's make it simple. Let's create new categories so that everybody can pick their category, and let's take the two categories off the birth certificate so that people have more room to really decide if they're a broomstick or a cat when they grow up and they have full disclosure of what they want to be. So it's when you take words and expressions from their original meanings and you turn them to something that's typically wrong and also debased. The word debased means immoral. The word debased also means of a lesser value and quality. So debased is when you take something from its original posture here and then you forcefully lower it by distorting it or twisting it. So this is why in the United States it is becoming widely accepted, or where it's not accepted at all, it's being forced down our throats by legal processes like getting sued. So people are being forced to at least keep their opinion quiet because of a lawsuit threat that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man, and people can just tweak and adjust things. And we now live in a world where gay no longer means happy and of an upbeat nature. It also means liking your own kind if you're a man or a woman. That is corruption. The third definition is the process of putrefaction. That was the shortest definition online. The process of putrefaction. And that simply means the process of rotting. The process of decay when you become rotten. That's what happens in a country that might, for instance, say that grown-ups who like children are just misunderstood and confused in their sexuality, and they're not pedophiles, as we've always called them, but they're now minor attracted persons, meaning literally that they're persons attracted to babies in a sexual manner. That's the process of rot, wanting to sleep with your dog and keep your high-paying university job like that one professor who was busted a few months ago. That's the process of rot. Behold, there is a layer upon them that can only come off at the cross. Only repentance will remove the weight of guilt that is upon Mystery Babylon, and genuine repentance by a contrite heart is what will be accepted by Yah. So this is the Lord's own words, saying that it is only at the cross that this thing called a patina is it's a buildup that comes on something over time by reason of constant application, by reason of constant use. So you keep going back to the porn, keep going back to the porn until you experience shattering in yourself. And you can no longer be satisfied by a human man or a human woman. And that's because the demons have launched like missiles into your heart. And now you only want the grotesque. Normal love is unsatisfactory. So your spouse can't be enough for you now. It needs to be 10 people like you saw in the movie, or it needs to involve all types of twisted expression that offends God. And he says that it's not by anybody's struggle or anybody's confession or anybody's mouth that will take off this layer, this sheen, this gross covering of corruption. It is only repentance at the foot of the cross, he says, that can shift the weight of guilt that is upon Mystery Babylon. And to personalize it, it has to be genuine repentance by a truly contrite heart. Meaning that you're forgetting all about this, but what about this, but God loves America, and you are now going into the prayer closet to say, Lord, between me and you, this thing is dogging me. This thing is haunting me. This monkey has not only wrapped its arms, but its legs around me, and it's biting my jugular. I'm drained because of this sin, and I need to be set free. You can look at 2 Corinthians 7, 8 to 11. And 1 John 1, verses 5 to 10, and Psalm 51, to really begin to understand what genuine repentance is. The next thing the Lord said to me is, there will be fighting in the state senates. So, all the states have their legislature set up, but God says in the Senate, which is usually the higher houses, the senators will be fighting in chambers, and then they'll be coming out of those conferences, those closed sessions, completely unable to work together. They will not be able to see eye to eye on anything. The next thing he also added is that new laws will start to be passed at the federal level. So this is at the top White House level. It says new laws will start to be passed at the federal level that will eventually take away the rights of individual states to govern themselves. The national temperature is already smoldering, but soon it will burst into flame. So these are three things that have been covered. I think one prophecy that covers it very well is called The Many Words of God. Either part one or part two said that there will come such divisions in leadership that red and blue and anyone else will be incapable of working together. Said America will begin to tear herself apart because even at her lawmaker level, even at the executive and at the judiciary, those three arms will be incapable of working together. They'll be working at cross purposes. So people will be actively stabbing one another in the back, actively destroying each other's careers, denouncing each other publicly. This was years ago that these things were said. And that this nation will stall. America will stall. How many times has the government been closing itself? How many times have we been in the threat of a government shutdown? Who The other nations are listening. We're all here on this video. Who ever heard of a government shutting down like a busted up old jalopy, an old car? Who ever heard of a government shutting down? If a government shuts down, how is the nation supposed to run? How do things get done? Only here. The government will threaten the people and say that we're going to shut down and then we won't have a budget unless, I mean, it's basically holding the nation to ransom. And they are getting so used to it that it's almost becoming a go-to in order to get bills passed. They won't be able to work together. They won't be able to see eye to eye. God is talking about the states now. And not only that, he says that will be compounded by the fact that the federal government will start to leech power out of the states. So a state will say, we don't care about Roe versus Wade. We don't care what is happening where. We are legislating that we want no abortions in this state. We're trying to pivot to God. We don't want to pivot to the Supreme Court. We want to pivot to Jesus Christ. And then the federal government will legislate something at the top, basically abrogating the power of the states to say, we want to do this. And we're constitutionally allowed to do this because Roe versus Wade is not in the Constitution. It's just a finding. It's a legal precedent that everybody was happy to walk along with for decades, and many babies paid the price for the free love and the self-pleasuring that resulted in that much blood that God says it will never be forgiven. So new laws will happen at the federal level, and I've spoken about how America will be in the future. I have spoken of the North Korea-type government prefectures with assistant prefects and deputy prefects and so much bureaucracy, so much red tape that it will be very hard to get anything done in the country. I've spoken of the monitoring, how the prefects will disseminate into all the states and they will say, we passed a federal law and said that we, even though it's winter, we no longer want the heating costs. So your thermostat cannot be above 65 and 65 is still chilly. 65 is still cold. 65 is air conditioner temperature. But they will say, no, in keeping in line with the brand new green laws and the green energy laws and the laws of the windmill and everything else to save energy and to get off coal, 65 or 68 is the max. And then they're going to look at usage numbers. And I said in an old video that perhaps Hawaii is going to have high energy costs or Florida. It could be New York City, because it definitely does snow a lot here. If a state then goes above the national average, I said that that state will be heavily penalized in the new system, heavily fined, heavy fines. Another thing that I spoke of is how America is going to be cut up and become a nation of borders, a nation of borders. So there's a big border around the country. You fly out of the border, you cross the U.S. border, and then you go to Mexico. You cross the border, you go to Europe, you cross and you go to Canada. But within the continent, we don't have borders, but there are going to be borders. There's going to be separations, even between the regions. You're going to have to cross a border and show papers to go from New York City to New Jersey. So that kind of thing is coming. All that kind of thing is going to bring excessive pressure on people. People are already under a lot of pressure. People are already having outbursts. People are already harming themselves. I think New York City recently experienced 3 suicides in one 24-hour period. And it was written in that news article that that is a record. 3 people jumped in front of the train in one day. They couldn't take it anymore. And remember that the Lord said, the prophecy is called the year of the test, 2023, the year of the test. He said that starting in 2023 and going forward, the kinds of trials, tribulations, and testing, you might remember that I spoke of some of this earlier in the video for reluctant and disobedient believers. You are included in that. He said that the testing will be so hard that many people will not continue anymore. That is just God's poetic way of saying that people will exit themselves from this life. They will not be able to handle the pressures. They will not be able to handle the stress. They will not be able to handle the mental attacks. They will not be able to handle Satan and the things that Satan will do, the hurt he will cause them, the way he will rob them of many physical things, including family members. that pain compounded without submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father said that many people will not be able to go through that, and they will not continue, meaning that they will take themselves off this earth into, unfortunately, judgment. The next part is crisis centers will exist in America. So this is one of these prophecies that have many parts. But if you remember, the main point of this video was the dream that I had out of my home in a crisis center with hundreds or maybe thousands of people, not even knowing where I was, just processed and there's the food and go pick an uncomfortable chair in the bleachers and fall asleep. God is saying that crisis centers will indeed exist in America. Homes will be requisitioned as hospitals and clinics. Bedrooms will be turned into triage and surgeries will be performed right on the kitchen floor. So this sentence right there is telling you that this is wartime because it sounds exactly like Great Britain during the times that they would have their overhead raids, their air bombings and things like that. Bedrooms turned into triage. This is where they're preparing people. They've been hurt. They're bleeding. They've been shredded maybe by a bomb, by rocket fire, by shooting, something like that. Surgeries performed right on the kitchen floor. This is somebody just putting on their lighter and you just put the little knife in it to sterilize it and you do what you can. Homes, a house is not set up to be a hospital or a clinic. But what's going to happen is because of things that will be happening here, people are going to make do the best that they can. Here's what the Lord said. The times will demand quick thinking and resourcefulness. This is people who don't crack under pressure. This is people who don't start crying and say, oh, my anxiety could never. This is people who are going to respond to the threat, respond to the times, respond to the pressure, respond to the stress. Some of you are going to surprise yourselves. After all this weakness and I need these pills and I'm really stressed out, some people are just going to snap out of it like that and just show up in a way that they themselves right now didn't know that they were capable of. And some people who look capable are just going to melt. The times will demand quick thinking and resourcefulness, and people will turn everything they have into what's needed to survive. So you have that mansion, you might find that your mansion will turn into the Greater Bethel International Iowa Clinic, and people will just be rushing people there, and you'll say, that bedroom is free, the kitchen is being swabbed down now, put her on the tiles and get some gauze and just try and stop that bleeding. We're going to see things like that. Things that have been happening in other countries for a very long time, they're going to be happening here. God says people will turn everything they have into what's needed to survive. The desperation and determination of the average person to survive can never be underestimated. People will do anything to save their own lives, and that includes using whatever is available as a tool or a resource to do it. Anything can become anything if it comes to saving your life. And many people are going to find that out in the day that these things happen. Resilience will be tested to breaking point very soon. Very soon, nobody will be willing to answer back for the plagues that I will send upon them. The land of Babylon will be silent in judgment before me. I release a plague of suffering over the United States of America. I am the Lord. I bring havoc and a whirlwind to disturb you, to disturb your peace, to disturb your complacency and what you think of as your right to exist. The nations exist at my pleasure. I alone decide who rises and falls. If a nation pleases me, I, the Lord, will build it up and establish it, as I have done to you, Babylon. But if a nation is defiant and resistant, breaking my laws and giving itself over to destructive beliefs and practices, as you have done, then I will uproot it and give it over to destruction. I remove my shield and my bulwark from over you, America. I strip your glory and I push you down from your monumental high place into free fall. And so there is a vision that I shared a long time ago, and it's coming back to me now, and I'm going to repeat it. What I saw is I saw a coach in a gym. So I saw a coach in, it's either a gymnasium or it's that part of the high school where all the trophies are displayed in a case, and all the pennants, you know, all the pennants that you've won in competition, gymnastics and football and all of it, all of them are plastered on the wall, you know, class of 1990 this, and then the trophies there. I saw a very angry coach, and the coach was destroying the wall of victory for this particular high school that he had coached. So he had been at this high school for a very long time. He's the coach, beloved coach, the main guy. He was the one behind all the victories. He was the one who encouraged the kids when they were feeling that the odds were against them. He was the source of the pep talks. He was the source of the encouragement. He was the guy who wrote all the winning plays, and they scored touchdown after touchdown, and they took victory after victory, and he made them great. Coach did it, not them. They were able to